everyone. Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning, and welcome to our Sunrise Project call. I'm happy we're all here this morning on this glorious Sunday and in this safe space that is filled with love and compassion and peace and a desire for us to heal ourselves and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am super excited to have back with us this morning Shawana Roberts. She has been here multiple times. She is a dear friend, and she has authored a book that the Sunrise Project is supporting. You'll hear more about that in a second. Her day job, Shawana, is a process and design engineer who spends her days designing products and services to solve business challenges for top Fortune 100 companies. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and in her private time, she serves on the board of an intercontinental dance theater company and an organization providing mentoring and hair consultations for girls who are experiencing hair loss due to a medical illness. Shawana and I met back in 2007 in Austin, Texas, when we were both living there, and we have become fast friends and friends since then. She has two beautiful daughters. As everyone knows, I have two incredible sons, and we met when our children were literally, I think, 3 and 5 or something like that, very small. And so here we are. Shawana's most pressing challenge has been caregiving for her mother with Alzheimer's, which is an irreversible disease that slowly destroys memory and thinking skills, and eventually the ability to carry out normal day-to-day activities. Shawana uses her breadth of knowledge to research, speak to professionals, and share her journey and experience of this disease that impacts an estimated 2.2 million Black people. Our community, Shawana says, must be more prepared to care for our family members with the disease and better equipped in planning for long-term care, both for our loved ones and for ourselves. And I love this quote that says, "Everyone wants to be the sun to lighten someone's life, but why not be the moon to brighten the darkest hours?" So that is your quote, Shawana. As I mentioned, Shawana has partnered with the Sunrise Project to release this amazing resource. It's a workbook that is really about empowering ourselves to get our affairs in order before the final sunset. And so the book is called Before I Die. Shawana has put personal stories in the book and also created this incredible, incredible resource. And so I'm going to turn it over to Shawana to talk about this book, this resource tool, and get us started, because I know it's hard to get started, including for me. So good morning, Shawana. Thank you for being back with us.
Good morning, Kelly, and thank you for having me. Thank you always. It's a pleasure to speak with you and also your Sunrise community. You open the sessions every time with the Serenity Prayer, and I thank you for that because it grounds us. And I do, before I dive in, want to just focus a little bit on the Serenity Prayer. You say, accept the things I cannot change. Well, when we're thinking about planning, when we're thinking about capturing our story, when we think about documenting that, we acknowledge and we accept the fact that we cannot change that we will age. We cannot change that we will grow older. We cannot change that our parents will age and they will grow older. And so accepting that kind of puts us at peace so that we are able to plan and think ahead before that time gets here. You also talk about courage. The courage to change things I can't. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to document your story, like who are you and how you want to be remembered. And part of the guide is capturing who you are. Because if you want somebody to tell your story, you have to and should give them something to say. But it also takes courage to define your legacy. I have done X. I want my future generation to do Y and Z and tell the story that shapes your next generation. So that's a courageous activity. And then the last one is wisdom, being very thoughtful and very intentional about making decisions, knowing that the wisdom is guiding you on this path of what you should do and how you can honor and respect the work that you've done, but also leave that work for your next generation. So thank you for giving us that serenity prayer, because we always want to focus on accepting the things that we can change. We want to focus on being courageous, and we want to focus on giving wisdom.
That's right.
As Kelly had said, I'm a mother. I have two daughters and two amazing daughters. And sometimes I look back and I see them and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are my kids. And I see so much of them and I see me in them. And I see how they have grown. I see how they travel through the world. I see how they approach life and live in their best lives. And that's all we want as a mother. So a year, 25 years ago, on the 22nd of August, I actually gave birth. My daughter turned 25 on the 22nd. So I went through that whole birthing process. At the time, becoming a parent or motherhood, or you're expecting, I was given some advice. Shawna, you should probably document a plan, the things that you need to do prior to the arrival of your child. I was like, okay, that sounds like a really great idea. Let me do that. I didn't know at the time that they were called birthing plans, but that's what they are. I just made it as my things to do list. The most important thing for me at that time was the environment, our home, so the baby's room. So I had this vision about, I wanted it to be sunny and bright, full of joy, because we would spend a lot of time there. So I designed the room to have the primary color. So each wall had a color. There was yellow, red, blue, and then I added green, depending on where you go. Green is a part of the primary colors. Each of the wall, though, had activities. One activity was music. So either you listened to music or you had those toys that played music or made loud sounds. We had a side of the room that was the creative arts and craft, paint, color. We had a side that was surrounded by alphabets, numbers. This is what a dog sounds like. This is what a cat sounds like. And then the other room was more conceptual, like math, puzzle pieces. Because again, I wanted that environment to bring joy and happy. And then in the center was the play area. But in addition to that things to do list, you had to select a pediatrician. When you're planning, you want to be close proximity to work, to home, or to the daycare. You're figuring these things out. You interview people, you talk to people and say, okay, who's taking patients? Who can answer my questions but be an advocate for me and my child and not just put us through the system or the process? What kind of delivery process I wanted to have, what I want to do after birth, who's coming on first week, second week, third week, like all of this. I had all of this in this plan. So again, I told you 25 years ago on the 22nd, I gave birth to my daughter. We had a name, Austin. Whether it was male or female, she was going to be Austin. So I had a girl. Now, I'd done the prenatal classes. I've seen on television, like giving birth and what that looks like. So at 1 o'clock, 105, 25 years ago on the 22nd, I delivered my baby girl, Austin. In that moment, Kelly, though, typically they give you the child because they want the baby to still be in a warm environment and hear your heartbeat. So that's why they allow the child to rest in your arms. But they took Austin to the side. And so I'm thinking, what's happening? What's going on? They come over. Oh, you have a beautiful baby girl. Okay, yeah, okay. They bring her over. Definitely, she's a beautiful baby girl. Heart's beating, lungs beating, screaming, 10 fingers, 10 feet, 10 toes rather. But she has on her face this large lesion. We didn't know what it was at the time in that moment. And it covered a third of her forehead and half of her scalp. It looks like a mole. So if you can envision this, just think about a mole covering half of your forehead and half of your head. I immediately called my pediatrician and I said, hey, can you come? She came by. She knew exactly what it was. It's called a nevus, N-E-V-U-S. It is a large nevus, a large mole lesion that appears on the scalp forehead on the skin. She said, you need to get her tested. because it could be cancers. Day two. So we go, try to schedule something. I couldn't get in until 2 weeks. I said, hey, we got an appointment. It's in 2 weeks. She said, give me a minute. She came back on the phone and she said, your appointment is tomorrow, the next day at 8 a.m. We took her in. They had to put her to sleep. She goes to the CT scanner. We get the results back. It's not cancerous. However, though, anytime you have skin type elements, cancer could come at any time. So they recommended that we remove this. So I tell this story because I built a plan in the beginning. Now, my plan couldn't calculate that my child would be born with this. Like, there's no amount of planning that I would have said, oh, Austin's going to be born with this, and I need to do this. However, what that plan allowed me to do is not start at ground zero, Kelly. I was maybe 50, 60%. I established a relationship with the pediatrician. I had talked to family and friends. Like, I was being very strategic and logical about this birthing process. So when something hit me, like my child being born with this nevus that covered her scalp and forehead, I don't want to say I was prepared. However, I was able to think more strategically and logically about my next steps, which is why, as we think about birthing plan, it is about giving life. As we think about growing old and aging, it is about our transition and is about building a plan to how you want to live and go through life through this transition. So this is what I want to talk about. This is what our guide is about. This is how I want to help people better understand that process.
It's interesting when you were saying that, I was thinking you were going to end by saying the birthing plan is about planning for life, right? And this plan that we often have a challenge with is planning for what's after life. Because if we believe in a higher power, many of us do, and it's fine if you don't, but if many of us do, there's life, you know, in a greater place. And so it's like planning for what's after life so that the people that are here don't have to deal with so much drama, pain. They have a plan already. So it's preparing that plan for people that love you.
Absolutely. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's also thinking about the plan is a gift. It's not only a gift for yourself, but it is a gift for your loved ones. So think about the birthing plan. That plan was a gift to me on how I wanted to see the things transactionally in terms of giving birth. It was a plan to my daughter on how you are going to enter into this world and the space that I've created for you. But then there's another plan that I need to do for my kids as well. It is the plan in the event that something happens to me. These are my wishes. This is how I'm entrusting you to care for the things that I am leaving for you. And this is my vision, not only for you today, but for our generation and for our dynasty as we think about it. So it is a gift for everybody. And we talked about in the Serenity Courageous, it is a courageous effort. And I implore everyone that's listening to take the time to just think about the impact that you have made in your family's life, if you have kids, your kids' lives, your parents, your friends, and give them something to say, to think about as they think about you, but also capture your wishes. How do you want to continue to live? I talked about the acknowledgement and the acceptance of things we cannot change. We are going to age. We are going to grow old. And at each stage and transition of that life, how do you envision or seeing yourself living? You want a quality of care. Do not leave these things up to your children when you can now. When you're not in the mix and throes of it, plan for it.
Absolutely. So to that point, you know, we have you have written this incredible workbook and journal based on your story. Yes. And if you could share the Cliff Notes version of the story that you shared so beautifully here about the importance of writing down your wishes, particularly around, how we are living now and things that make us happier, our daily habits, both for ourselves and our loved ones. Can you share a little bit? And then also for people who don't have the actual workbook, we'll put the link in Amazon, but there are things we can do this morning to get started, whether it's with a note on your phone or a piece of paper. So I want to just turn it back over to you to share a brief bit about your story and why this is so important, and then how we can get started this morning.
Absolutely. So I do want to just share, for people who have heard this before, how do we get here? How did Kelly and I get here? My father passed away in 2021. I thought we had a really great relationship until my father passed, and I had no idea of his wishes. I had no idea of their affairs, their legal affairs, their financial affairs. Again, I thought we had a good relationship and we talked about everything, but we never talked about this. Again, having the courageous conversation. And so in the midst of that, my mother has cognitive decline. She has dementia. So she was not able to help us piece things together. And in that moment, I thought about my two girls. Literally, they would be in the same predicament that I was in, right, dealing with my dad's passing and my mother, because we've never had a conversation. And we often think that, oh, I'm away till I'm 55, 65, 70. But the reality is, you don't know when it's going to happen. So let's continue to build on the story. The guide is intended to be a living document of your wishes, a living document of who you are, and a living document of what you have. We grouped them into certain categories. We have your personal information, like who you are, your kids, your sister, brother, your mother, father, like your history, your personal information, where you live. We also have your habits and preferences. So when you think about aging, when you think about growing old, someone's going to help care for you. And if someone is caring for you, what are those habits? I'm an early person. Like, I get up at 5:30. If someone is caring for me, I don't want them to think that's abnormal and calling my kids, hey, your mother's always waking up at 5:30. That's just what I do. That's just who I am. So documenting your habits, again, is a living document. This may be your habit today, but in 10 years, it may be something different. And your preferences. Some people like to drink coffee black. I need it every morning. If that's what your preference is, that is, I don't eat breakfast. If that's your preference, people who are going to care for you, particularly your loved ones, need to understand who you are in those categories. We also have a section for advanced care planning. Again, writing down your preferences. Do you want to age in place? Do you want to have independent living? Do you want to be in assisting living? And if so, if this is your vision, how have you planned to care for these events financially, location-wise? What are your thoughts around this? Again, these are things to consider as you are thinking about building the plan. Your financial life. Where is everything? All your accounts. Document those. Your insurance. Not only your home insurance, your car insurance, your life insurance, all of your insurance that you have. Your medical history. Again, if someone's going to speak for you and advocate for you as you are aging, you need to better understand their medical history. Again, I go back to my kids. I don't think they have a clue of my medical history. Not because I hadn't said anything, it's just that it's not a typical conversation. Oh, by the way, I went to the doctor and I have this wheat allergy now, so I'm gluten-free. So they know that because when we go out, we talk about it. But other things, would they really know? And would they be able to explain and represent you to a physician about your medical history? We also have your digital life. My parents didn't have a digital life. They didn't have social media, they had a phone. But today you have an app for everything. For my medical life, you have a portal for every physician that you see. Go into the portal to get your test results, to schedule appointments, to pay the bill. Like, everything is a digital life. So we have a section on that. And then our last section in the guide is really home evaluation and environmental checklist. Because my mother had dementia, how do you answering the questions in here, understand if a parent, a loved one is suffering from cognitive decline. So it's an opportunity for you to do that. So that is kind of what is all in the guide. We think it chronicles everything. One of the things when I was looking through this and helping my mother and my family members when my dad passed away, what I found was that I got pieces of the story. Here's the financial, like here's what you capture for all your finances. Oh, here's the medical history. Like everything was a different book. And I didn't want to run around, use this book, use this book, use. I wanted something that was all comprehensive to give me those things that I needed to consider and think about as I am documenting my affairs for my parents. And now as I am documenting them for my kids. So I do want us, Kelly, to just focus on the digital life. And if you have your book and others, if you have purchased the guide already, it's pages 20 and 21, Kelly, unless you have questions.
No, I think that's great. I think I think that actually doing it, like I've been wanting to do this for years since I first heard your story. It's probably been 3 years and I just haven't done it. So the intention of us doing this is to provide an opportunity since we have this space every Sunday where we come together often to talk about our children or the challenges we're facing or have a moment for self-care or what have you. This is a part of that. And we want to take the time to do what we need to do.
Absolutely. And that's one of the feedback that I get often. Shawna, this is a lot of information. This is really good. Taking the time to do this, write this down. Where do I start? How do I get started? Again, we go back to the serenity prayer, courage. Being courageous and taking a minute, that one day out of the month, one day out of the week, whatever your schedule is, just to think through and document these things, but also having a strategy. So regarding your digital life, I want to present some of the things that I thought about as I was documenting this. The main thing with your digital life is your username and password. Like you have got to manage that. And we have a lot of passwords. We have everything requires your username and password. So a practical approach that I've taken, and I'm gonna give you three examples again. I always believe, what is the long-term strategy before you start? And then you can have that strategy as you utilize throughout the guide. So one of the practical approaches that I've used, and I'm gonna give you three strategies, is using an acronym. So for instance, if it's your favorite song, and I love this song, it's gonna be a lovely day. So it's going to be a lovely day. The acronyms would be I, it's G, going, B, the letter B, A, lovely, L, and D, day. So A, G, B, A, L, D. Again, pick something, a song, a quote, floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. That could be another acronym that you use. And then as you are saying, it's your Netflix account. You use that acronym and you put something either net or flicks before or after, and you use a special code, the dollar sign, the ampersand, the plus sign, or whatever it is that you use so that you know. But again, it's a strategy because you will always remember it's going to be a lovely day, or you will remember float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And whatever that app is, that portal is, you've already added something before at the end so that you know that this is what it is. So again, that's one of the things. Or you can also use these random words. For instance, I would say bus, car. You can put a number before that, 312 bus, car. Or car 312 bus. Again, try to think of things that you use and say all the time for your password. So just again, think about a strategy because you need a password for everything and think about the strategy, but also keep it simple and keep it secure. Do not use like the 0 for an O or the O for 0 because hackers can figure that out and you can't be with the other.
Wait, say that again. Do not use an O for a 0 and an O for a 0.
Correct. Or sometimes you use the at sign for an A. Don't use that. Again, as you're spelling words, people can figure that out and hackers have figured that out. So be very select a different approach for security. So in our guide, we ask you to do your email and social digital life. We ask you to do your digital story in terms of devices. But there's a lot of things out there, and we're going to send you this handy dandy worksheet in order to do that. The purpose in the guide is we didn't want to constrict you if you didn't have a Netflix account, if you didn't have an Apple Watch. We didn't want to give you the category, so we left it at open pages. However, we do want to provide you with some guidance in terms of how to get started. So when you think about your digital life, your computers and your devices, if anything happened to you, who would have access to that and know where to go to get the information? So your Apple Watch, your Apple ID, access to your iPad, your desktop, your smartphones, your tablets, any of those are devices, those are things we'd like for you to add into that category. And there may be others. So if there's others out there from a computer or device perspective, you can definitely put them in the chat window and we will add that to the list. But what I've captured, again, if you are Apple users, your Apple ID, if you're Apple user, your Apple Watch, your smartphone, your desktop, all of these things that you log into to get information. Also, when you're looking at your digital life, think about your cloud storage. Again, remember, if you are incapacitated or you are no longer with us, what do you want people to have access to? Let's document all of that. And one of the things, I use American Airlines. Like if I fly, I try to fly American. I want my daughters to get every mile, transfer it right away to their account. So yes, I'm going to give them access to my American Airlines. When I travel and I have to stay in a hotel, I do Marriott. So I'm a Bonvoy member. Again, if I got anything left, take it. If it's a day free, I want them to take it. Mm-hmm. So I try to be, again, strategic about all the things that I have in this digital space. I also use storage to have my photos. Give them access to Dropbox, your Google Drive, your iCloud, your OneDrive, your Shutterfly, whatever it is, because you want them to be able to extract those things and save them under their name and account. Don't forget all of your online subscriptions and memberships. If you have them automated coming out of your account, you want them to cancel it. And in order for them to do that, they got to be able to go in and know what you have, but also if they have access, they can go in and cancel it. Discover Plus, ESPN, Peacock, HBO, Apple Music, Spotify, all of these things, Tidal, Netflix, that you have from a subscription-based standpoint, start to document what they are. Start to document, I pay this myself. I pay them automatically so people know what to do and how to care for that. Again, even if you cannot or do not have the ability to speak at the time, they still need to care for that. If they're going to move in with you, if you're going to move them into digital living, how do you manage and care for those expenses? Don't forget your newspapers and magazines. We still get those from a digital perspective, or even if you get them delivered. What are those? The New Yorker, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the National Geographic, all of those things that you get, start to document and build your list. Again, we have some of these on this document that we can definitely share with you to get you started so that you're not starting from a blank sheet of paper. Let's not forget social media, our friend. Clubhouse, Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Reddit, like all of these, Snapchat, TikTok, all of these accounts that you have, if you want them to go in and send a message and close it, they will need access. I talked about the loyalty programs and rewards, whatever you have. I want my kids to take it off. Like I've worked really hard to get what I have. So I want them to have what I have left, if there's anything. Your rental cars, your hotels, all of those things from a rewards perspective that you may have accounts with. And then if you have digital assets, if you are a blogger, how do they get access to that information If you have other websites or your businesses, you want to document that as well. So that is what we're calling your digital life. I don't know if any if we've missed anything or any category, if anybody wanted to add anything, but this is the information we're hoping that people will start to document and write them down and get the guide so that you can have them chronically in a document.
And I did put the link to the worksheet that Shawana created based on these topics today, as well as the link to the hard copy and the soft copy in the chat. So that is there. And there's so much more that I know we can talk about, but I just want to double click on, the real genesis was you doing that 23andMe testing. Yes. And it showed you that you had more than 50% chance of developing Alzheimer's, correct? Is that correct?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So that your medical history is also a part of the guide. And it's important that you understand your makeup. So my mother has cognitive decline dementia. My grandmother, my mother's mother, has it. My uncle on my dad's side has it. My mother's aunts and uncles, so my grandmother's sisters, had it. And so that was a high probability. And I don't know if I wanted to know, but I wanted to know. And so 23andMe actually allows you to submit samples, and they'll let you know if you have the AP4 chromosome. This is the one for Alzheimer's. It took me about a year, maybe a year and a half, though, when I got the results to open it to actually see what it said. Because a part of me, I wanted to know, but did I really want to know? Mm-hmm. And because what are you going to do differently? Like, I don't know, but I am going to chronicle my information so that if anything happens to me and my memory fades me, my kids know everything. So that was one. And that was very, very important to me. So 2.5 years later, I finally decided I'm going to do this. Like, I just need to know, one, if I was a carrier of 50% of the chromosome, I needed to quickly document this. I needed to have a courageous conversation with my children to say, hey, listen, there's going to come a time when here's where everything is. And remember, again, like I talked to you guys, I get up early at 5:30 in the morning. Like, somebody needs to know that. That's just my mother's habit. That's just what she does. Don't be alarmed. She will be fine because this is just who she is. And my girls and I, we have bite-sized conversation right now about things, because it is a lot to give your loved ones. It is a lot for you to talk to your parents about their activities. And so you can only do them in small chunks, crunches. And then over time, they will have a story of who you are. So I did have to let them know that, you know, there's this chromosome. I have it. My mother had it. My grandmother had it. And, you know, it's a generational thing. So probably you will get a portion of it as well. And we need to be careful, mindful, and thoughtful about how we go through the world knowing this. So I think, Kelly, the reason I finally decided to open it, and my dad passed away, I was left trying to manage their affairs, the deed to the house, the car insurance, the phone bill. They both had mobile phones. Where is this? How do I cut it off? They have properties in other portions where my grandmother lived. Where's the deeds of that? Paying taxes on that. So it was just a Herculean effort to gather and collect all of this information. And in that, I didn't want my kids to do what I did. It is enough to grieve the loss of a parent. But then if you add on that, trying to solve and cure for the things, their affairs is another thing. And I didn't want that compounded experience on my children. So I had to do this, which again, it pushed me to, I'm like 75% done, because it is a lot. It is a lot of information, and it is a living document. So I'm updating it as well. So that's kind of what pushed me, Kelly, to really document this, build this guide, help people tell their stories, but also remember this is a gift. The plan that you're doing, the steps that you are taking now will be a gift for your loved ones.
Absolutely.
You do not want them to be doing this in the midst of trying to care for you, because that is a lot. You want them to be able to think logically about the decisions that they have to make.
Mm-hmm. And writing your wishes, right? Like your, all of it. It's just so important. It's like, would I want to live with my children? I don't know. I'd like to go live in like a Ritz-Carlton type of place. But then I need to like probably save for that. So I say that in jest, but it's true. It's like, I have a vision if it comes to that point of where I would like to be, but that means I need to plan for that and not assume, you know what I mean? There's a great question in the chat that says, would a survivor need a copy of the death certificate to share with providers to access or transfer some of these accounts?
Yes. So, and I will also tell people, I'm sharing my experience. So definitely talk to a legal professor, a profession. I did need my father's death certificate to do a lot of things. And so at the time of the passing, that's when you ask for, give me 5 copies, 10 copies, or however many copies that you need and want. Some people will only take the original. Some people will accept a copy. So just depending on where you are. But it's best just to order that number at that time so that you don't have to go back and request them again and again. But yes, you will definitely need a death certificate. But I want to touch on, Kelly, what you had said and talked about as well, telling your story. In the beginning of the guide, we allow you the opportunity to answer some questions. Like, tell me about your middle school. Tell me about your high school. Just tell me about life. And one of the stories that I shared at the last call, but I'll share a different story this time. When I graduated from high school, I had no idea what I was going to do or where I was going to go to school. I grew up in Mississippi. Most of my classmates either went to Alcorn or Jackson State or Tougaloo or Mississippi Valley State. And I just, that was going to be my journey. My chemistry professor said to me or asked me, Shawna, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I think I'll be an accountant. I'm good with math. I think that's the path I'm going to take. And he looked shocked and he said, Shawna, I think there's more out there for you to explore. You should consider that. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 18, graduating from high school. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm about to live my best life. A week later, I get this invitation from Tuskegee University to come to a summer science and engineering program. I said, Mom, hey, I want to do this. I can get, I think it was 12 college credits over the summer, so that way I'm not spending 4 years in college. I kind of have a boost on that college experience. My mom was like, okay, let's do it. I get to Tuskegee in the summer science program the summer after I graduated from high school. Loved, loved, loved the experience. Love, love, love the environment. Love, love, love the people that I met, but also the exposure that and how it expanded my mind and broadened my mindset. On Wednesdays, because we had math classes on Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, so Wednesday was an open day. They brought in alumni to talk to us about their careers, their experiences at Tuskegee. And I learned there a couple people from Procter & Gamble talked about what they were creating, not only from a marketing business perspective, but from an engineering. They were working on toilet paper. They were working on the tie. They were working on hair care. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a chemical engineer because I want to produce products and services for the people. Called my mother and I said, hey, I'm going to come to Tuskegee. And oh, she was like, but you didn't apply. I said, you know what? Let me figure that out. I went to the admissions office, literally that summer. I said, hey, I'm part of the summer science program. I was not intending to come to Tuskegee, but I love it here. And I want to start my freshman year here. I applied that day. I got in that day. My kids don't know that story. So that is something that I wrote.
I don't think I knew that story either. Your kids definitely need to know that story.
That is something that I wrote into this guy. Like, I want them to tell that story to my grandkids, 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 because that is what happened to you, to your mother. This is literally her experience getting into Tuskegee University.
What
So
a
those
great
are the stories.
place.
It's not just about I went to Tuskegee University, but what was that critical moment, life-changing moment that you want people to remember and to continue to tell? That is what we want you to capture here.
Yes. And that's the personal part of it. That's what I love about it. You've made it personal. So it's, yes, it's the facts. It's how to get into accounts. It's, you know, how to, you taught us here how to create a legacy contact in our phone. That was brilliant and very helpful the last time you were here. But doing all of this with the personal, stories, I got to that section in the book and it brought back a lot of memories and also an opportunity to really write it down. Because to your point, that's what you want to have people talk about in your celebration at some point. Our
Those are the
celebration.
stories, those are the memories that you want your family to have of you. Again, people can look up and tell where you went to college nowadays because of the social media presence, and more likely where you went to high school. But what experiences?
Yes.
What is the experience that changed your life or changed the trajectory of your life that you want to share, preserve, and ensure that someone remembers and recalls when they are thinking about you or talking about you?
That's it. That's it right there. If someone had to pick, we've talked about this, but I want to just have you share out loud. If let's say we are, you know, we're blessed to have a parent still living and we want to spend time with them and capture information and make sure we have the opportunity, if they agree, to, as someone asked earlier, get into the bank accounts or have you know, be able to talk to the doctor. What is the form that's needed? Or is there a document that needs to be created that both people need to sign, the parent or the one that we're caring for? Or
great.
even
That's
our
a great,
grown children, even our
that's
grown
a great
children.
point. Yeah. So one of the things, 2 years before my father passed away, he had a severe asthma attack and was in the ICU for 10 days. That is when my siblings and I started to think about someone needs to be able to speak for them and be able to talk to the doctor to get their medical work. So that's your power of attorney. Now, some people do just the medical. Again, I am not a licensed professional. This is by my experience, but definitely seek legal advice. Some people get a medical power of attorney. Some people get the financial power of attorney. I did the combo. I needed one document. Again, I'm really about comprehensive. So we built a power of attorney that encapsulated everything. I wanted to be able to get my mom and dad's financial information, get into their accounts. I wanted to be able to speak to their doctors so the doctors could give me their diagnosis and I can make appointments, I could pay bills. And so we did it a combo, but you could do two separate. But as Kelly also mentioned about your children, I said I have a 25-year-old. She turned 25 on the 22nd of this month. I also have a 20-year-old. When you are an adult over 21, your kids can make their own decisions. So say something happens to my 25-year-old. She's not married. I'm her mother and she has a father. If I needed to make medical decisions for her, I couldn't, because she's an adult and the doctors and will make that decision based on what they think. So I had my daughters sign over a power of attorney to me. So if anything happened to them and they were not able to speak for themselves medically, I would speak for them. And it's different if you're married, because your husband then speaks for you, your wife, your partner speaks for you. But if you are single and you have adult children, you think about if anything happened to them, how would you want their medical expenses experience to happen? Would you want a physician that does not know them to do this? Or would you want to be at the table making that decision on their behalf? So Kelly, I would encourage everyone to think about that. If you have adult children who are not married, who are single, consider them signing a power of attorney over to you, because you are their parent or to their father or to whoever. because you want to be able to speak and make decisions on their healthcare.
And that's a power of attorney for our adult children, because also they won't tell you any, they won't even give you the records. I heard a horror story.
They will not. They will not. And your child, of course, has to sign and certify it and be okay with it. So, yes, but it is for their best interest. It's for the future. You're not snooping, but it's really in the event that something happens to them medically and you need to speak to them and see their records and be a part of the conversation.
Yeah. Love that. Okay. Very, very helpful. I want to make sure we open it up for any questions or comments or additional questions from people that are here today. The hour has flown by. We're 50 minutes. And I do encourage people to purchase the book at Amazon. Shawana wrote it out of love and her learning. And the Sunrise Project is a supporter of it, and really proud to be working with Shawana on this because it's such important work to do. Having planned my father's funeral with my mother, it was really hard. And as you know, and had no idea of any of his wishes. None. So we guessed and picked songs and picked photos and did all those things, but it would have been great to have it, to have had the conversation.
Interesting you say that. So I shared that my parents, I never had this conversation with my parents. And I think they had a T-Mobile account. I don't remember, but we'll say it's T-Mobile. And I called to disconnect the services and they asked me, what's the password? And most places give you a clue. And I said, can you give me the clue? And they said, artists. And my dad is a huge Sam Cooke fan. And I took a leap of faith and I said, Sam Cooke. And that was the clue and that was his password. And so again, it is very, very difficult. And I didn't want to continue to pay the bill because he was no longer using the phone and I had to disconnect services. My mother was not able to make that call because she would have because she's the spouse. And so one of us had to do that. And it was funny because we would listen to Sam Cooke all the time. And I knew, again, when you document your preferences, like I have a list of songs for my kids to play for me. On Sunday, you know, you have my gospel playlist.
Mm-hmm.
You have your Earth, Wind, and Fire and those tunes. You have your Jill Scott. Like they know in this guide that I have written down specifically. In the morning, do this. In the afternoon, do this. At night, before I go to bed, this is what I hear. This is kind of what I want and how I want to live. So you have to document. There's a little bitty things that we don't think about that should be included and documented.
Right. I love that. I'm cracking up. I'm smiling at my playlist. I would be embarrassed to write it down, but I might one day. I'm like, Fight the Power from 2020. That's my current, still my current favorite.
Oh,
my,
wow.
Still my favorite, right? But that's anyway.
But speaking of songs, I always, when I am watching movies, I like to see who put the songs together in the playlist. So I was watching On Prison. I don't know if anybody's seen it with Kerry Washington and her father's out of prison. That playlist is literally the bomb. And that's another thing that I added to my list to play this. But one of the songs is Mirror by Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's singing, I Choose Me. Like, and I've added that to my, when I get up in the morning, I'm choosing me. So yeah. And I told this team before, I also listened to Sade. I couldn't love you more, but I changed the lyrics so I couldn't love me more.
I love that.
Couldn't love me more if I tried. And so I've added mirrors. I'm choosing me. Again, life is about choices and I'm choosing me. And I know people say put the mask on first, but yeah, I'm putting my mask on.
I love this. So the Kendrick song that you mentioned, the one that
yeah.
I like nonstop is They Not Like Us. What is the one that you mentioned?
Mirror.
Mirror. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. There is a comment and several people are saying, I just purchased the book. So thank you. And the links are in the chat for the hardcover and the paperback, but such an important conversation. There is a comment about from D. This is something to consider is whether or not your wishes can or will be granted by your loved ones should you be unable to continue caring for yourself. I know people who want to live with their adult children, but the relationship between parent and child is strained, and that arrangement would not be possible. Some adult children have spouses who would not allow this arrangement. Additionally, some adult children don't want the burden or responsibility. We have to plan with realistic expectations so we are not disappointed if or when the time comes. I've heard some really sad stories. Any thoughts on that?
Dee, thank you for your comment and your statement, but you're right. I'll tell you about my parents and then I'll tell you about me personally. At the time when my father passed, I lived in New York City. It was not in our best interest to have my parents come to New York City to stay with me. Not only would it have been a fortune, but the accommodations just would not be suiting since my parents have always lived in Mississippi. None of my other siblings were available to take in my mother when my dad passed away. So it is definitely something that you need to care for. I didn't know their wishes. I talked a little bit when my dad was sick with my mother and said, would you want to go live with my older sister? Would you want to stay in a facility? And my mother said, no. She said, absolutely not. I want to stay at home. So we tried as hard as we could, as long as we could, to make that happen, her reality. But it is important, like you said, to document your wishes. It is your hope, it is your prayer that your loved ones will execute to your wishes. And you just hope and pray for that. Regarding my kids, my two daughters, I would go home when both my parents were alive and spend about a week. I would relieve the nurses, and it was a lot of work. It was mentally and emotionally draining. And at the same time, I was still raising my kids because they were not 20 and 25. And so when you are thinking about your plan, think about the experience that you want your loved ones to have, because this ages the caregiver. This is mentally exhausting. But also think about what I call this fear or this guilt, because we believe that your kids are to take you in, or we believe that you are to take your parents in. And there's this heavy amount of guilt emotionally from the community that you didn't. Again, when I talked about I couldn't love me more, or when I say I choose me, you have to think about that emotional toll, the financial toll that it will take on your children. So for me, my plan was, I want to live in a facility close to my kids. So financially, Kelly, like you said, I did long-term care insurance. So it will cover me for a certain amount of time in a facility. I'm paying now so that they don't have to pay later to do that for me, because they will be raising their families. It is my hope that is what they will be doing.
Right.
And do I want to then have them make these tremendous sacrifices to care for me as well? Again, thinking about that emotional, that mental toll, the toll on the family dynamics, the whole thing. My only ask is that I am in a city close to one of them, or if they're together. Like, I don't want to be in Charlotte and my oldest is in New York and my youngest is in LA, because that works for no one. So this is how I am planning. Again, this guide, this living guide, is for you to think through this today. Here's where Shawna is today. 10 years from now, 20 years, like, where do you want to be? But then build that plan to get that, so that your kids, your loved ones, are able to help you execute to that.
That is so powerful. And it's really, it's writing down what you just said. It's like, I don't want to do that if it comes to that with Kyle and Chris. So similarly, I'm saving what's possible, you know, if there was that need. But writing down your wishes and writing down What you just said, want to be near one of the girls, if not both. That's really important. That could be important to somebody. So thank you for sharing that. I think the other thing that's in the guide, it opens with, that Hamilton line, who lives, who dies, who tells your story. And the first question is, how do you want to be remembered? And what's that story? It's not all the facts necessarily, but it's like, that's part of it. But who are you as a human? And,
Yes.
being able to write your own eulogy or write your own obituary is so powerful. It's really incredibly powerful because it's one, it doesn't give that burden to your family members. Having done it, it's really challenging, it's really hard. But you have it written the way you want it, with all the stories that most of the time people wouldn't even know.
Yes.
I love that you put that in here. And I also think the habits and the preferences and the practices, so incredibly important. Like you talked about waking up at 5:30 in the morning and little things. What lotion do you like? What do you put in your coffee or tea? Or some people only drink essential water. Why is that? It may be important to that person, but seeing the bottle with Essentia could be a big deal one day. So anyway, I want to just say thank you for being here again. I would love to, if you're here and this would be helpful, to schedule a working session. If some of you want to work with Shawana on filling out the guide, I've had mine for several months and I'm still not even halfway through. I think we need to plan the time and take the time to actually do it. And if that would be helpful, put a note in the chat, please. And we will either schedule another Sunday session or do an evening session. But we're here every week. Shawana has already articulated that she'd be happy to be back. So people are saying yes. I just purchased my book. I purchased several copies. Thank you. Shawana will be at the I Am Woman Conference, which is coming up in September in Atlanta. Sylvia High, who's a dear friend and Sunrise Project participant, frequent participant, will be here on next Sunday to share and also to tell people more about that. But the I Am Woman Conference is a powerful, life-changing event as well in mid-September. So more to come on that. But thank you, Shawana, for being here. I can't believe it's already 10 a.m. Eastern. Appreciate you and all your incredible wisdom. And again, if you're interested in purchasing the book, it is in the chat, or you can go to thesunriseproject.org or thesunriseproject.com. The link is there as well on the homepage. Any last thoughts, Shawana, before we close it out this morning?
The only thing I would say is Kelly opened up with the serenity prayer. Just think about the acknowledgement, think about being courageous, and think about wisdom. I will leave you with those.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now Dr. Vicki Johnson will close us out with a prayer for this Sunday. Thank you again, Shawana.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shawana. Thank you, Kelly. I purchased two books while we've been on this call, and I'm just gonna keep purchasing books as gifts to give them away. I'm so looking forward to working through this with you, Shawana, and I think it's important for our community, to hear this over and over and over again. So I will be reaching out to you to come back on a Sunday morning because we can't talk about this enough. And I just want to echo the serenity prayer as we close today. God grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change. Give us courage to look at and change the things that we can. The wisdom to know the difference and the grace to even ask you for help, God. Thank you for Shawana and her passion and her work. Thank you for her family. Thank you for the grace you've given her to guide us through this process. Thank you for Kelly and Dee and the Sunrise Project team and every person who joins us on Sunday mornings to create such a powerful and safe space that we call community. We give you glory for these things. Thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. We choose to rejoice and give your name glory. And God, I'll end with a nudge to those of us who are listening, God. Give us courage to have these conversations with our families. Give us insight of who to gift this book to. One person at a time, one conversation at a time. We thank you for grace, wisdom, mercy, and understanding to move forward with this conversation in every area of our lives. We give you glory for it, and we thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you again, Shawana. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for being here once again. Thank you, Dr. Vicky, for that beautiful prayer. Thank you, Shawana, for your incredible words. And we will be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern, with Sylvia High, who many of you have met before. She's phenomenal. Have an awesome, powerful, wonderful, beautiful day. Take care of yourselves, and we'll be back next Sunday. Bye-bye.